Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, listeners. Today is a very tender program for me. I have got one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. A dear, dear friend, someone who I've had the privilege of doing ministry with for years, somebody who I've admired, I've learned from, and that is my friend Stacy Callender. And I have wanted this time with Stacy, and what you don't know, listeners, and I'll let you know, is 3 years ago, she was diagnosed with brain cancer, a glioblastoma. And her life was so upended. And I didn't know if I'd ever get to see her, let alone fellowship with her again. And we were praying, we were storming the gates of heaven, which is something that Stacy really has inspired and provoked me to do more than once. Stacy's the type that prays about everything, which I just love. And we went out to lunch. She was able, God raised her up. We went out to lunch. And the whole lunch, we just talked about the goodness of God and everything that God has been doing, even through the cancer. You've never heard a testimony like the one you're going to hear today. So I am so excited, listeners, that God has moved in Stacy's health enough to bring her into studio, that she could talk to us and share with us all that God's doing. But Stacy, before we get into that, I want to talk about how you've just always loved God. Can you remember a time when you didn't love Jesus growing up?
No, I can't remember a time. It's been such a gift because I had godly parents, just like you. And I remember accepting the Lord as a little girl and getting to follow him all the days of my life. Obviously not perfectly, and learning along the way, but getting to love him and getting to learn about him. I've been from this church, that's been a gift for me.
Yeah.
To be discipled by Cheryl, to get to sit under her dad's teaching,
yep,
even as a little girl. So it's precious for me to be able to do this.
And we share an alma mater. You graduated from UCI. Went to UCI for a year. But it was during that time, I believe, that you met your husband, Scott.
That's true. He was my tour guide. He offered to give me a glimpse of the campus and tour me around and help me register. And I was like, I think this is a pretty special guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to say something, Stacy. We have heard many, many love stories. Cheryl and I love them, so we always ask our guests. Or if we're researching a woman from out of history, mm-hmm, we try to find out a little bit about their love story, if it's recorded anywhere. But you are the first love story that we've heard of where you met your husband when he was a tour guide on a college campus. Yes. Every story is different. It's lovely. Did you have little inklings right then when you first met him?
Well, my boss at Popcorn Palace.
Ooh, it's amazing. Popcorn Palace.
Yes, and Candy Emporium. Don't forget the candy.
Candy Emporium.
she loved me, and she thought I was such a sweet lady. And so girl, I guess. So, you know, it was my first job. And she loved Scott. And so she kind of set us up.
Okay.
And this is how we got to know one another at first, is the tour guide.
What's interesting, though, is now I've heard Scott's side of this, too.
Yes.
Is that Stacy, although Scott is, and he still is, devastatingly handsome, though he's very kind. He's just a wonderful man. But she said to him, unless you love Jesus like I love Jesus, this relationship won't go anywhere. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Here Jesus. But this is for a young girl. This is from a young girl. Yep. What were you, 21 at the time, 22?
Oh, actually, I was 18.
18. Yeah. And you said to him, unless you love Jesus like I love Jesus, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I'll have to say goodbye.
So what did Scott have to say about that when you heard his side?
He said that was it. He was going to commit his life to Christ.
just... Well, there's an evangelism technique.
Well, you know what?
He was willing to go to first service with me. It was 7:45. And that
oh,
was,
wow.
Yeah,
commitment.
That's the service my family and I went to.
Yeah.
But you know what he said? Because he had never met anyone like Stacy, somebody who knew what she believed in and was confident in that.
Yeah.
Somebody who was not going to be moved by anything that the world had to offer, but was so cemented and rooted in Jesus that added to his own faith. You know, there's no way you could be committed to a myth. There's no way you could, because he was on the fence before this, wasn't he?
He just didn't know the Lord like I knew the Lord, and so didn't grow up going consistently to church. I mean, this is a very special church. I was taught the word of God. Mm-hmm. I was taught the word of God by my family, too. But this is a very special place to be able to be discipled. And he was willing to come.
Well, here's the thing. Love stories, we just said, are our favorite. They're irresistible. But what is really irresistible is a heart that is so in love with Jesus that nothing else matters. And that's... You can go the distance your whole life with the joy and the peace that the Lord gives. And when that knowledge, when that understanding settles on you deeply, you're just irresistible because you just radiate. And you do, Stacy. You just glow with the love of the Lord.
Now, Stacy, was Scott your first boyfriend?
No, he was my second.
Cheryl's really getting down into it here.
Yeah, two's not very many.
But this is the one the Lord chose for me because, wow, right now in this situation, getting to see him grow, and all of us grow, oh my goodness. But he has loved me and loves me for better or for worse. And, you know, in this condition, with the glioblastoma, going to all of the seizures and all of the help I have needed, getting to watch him love me, I am just so grateful that the Lord chose Scott for me.
Yeah, he knew it way back then. Yep. Okay, so you got married to Scott, and then I'm going to like fast forward a little bit because you had... you had Megan, who we all absolutely adore. If anyone's ever...
We did get married first.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. See, you're pretty sharp. You're pretty sharp. But you got married, and then you had Megan, and then you had your son, and then you had another daughter, and then you had your son. And then after this, you know, I remember, you know, I want to talk about how specifically you got involved with Moms in Prayer. So, you know, tell us
Was that four children?
Four children.
Okay.
Two boys, two girls. We have that in common.
And they're spaced out.
Yes. And we go.
Girl boy. Yeah.
We have that in common, too. Because I had a girl and a boy. Then I waited 5 years. I think you didn't wait quite as long. And then I had another girl and boy. And so we both have that, starting with girls, which is such a good thing because they help us train the boys. And they're just, I just highly recommend beginning with a girl.
Well, Jesus
too
for
late.
That, right?
We have a boy first.
Yes, yes. Oh, sorry.
But that works too.
Yes.
I like it.
So did my daughter.
I'm happy.
Yes. Every daughter and daughter-in-law had a boy first. But for me, it was great just starting
Jesus
with a girl.
Knows what
yes.
We need, right?
He
so
does.
So then you started the Mom's Prayer Group. That was when your kids were through elementary school or still really little?
Actually, yeah. So my mom had actually heard about the ministry on the radio, heard about Moms in Prayer, and she's like, you should do this, and I'll babysit. Mm. So what a gift.
Thank you.
I know. And so here I go into this group, and I get to pray not only for my own children, but for an entire elementary school. And it was such a gift. And, you know, prayer can be intimidating. And so I'm just like, oh, what's this going to be like? And I learned how to pray. I learned that you can just go in and pray simply from the heart and pray with these other women who just loved me and welcomed me in. And they are my dear friends still.
Fern Nichols is the woman, and she's just a legend. She was in Vista. Well, not in Vista, but she came to Vista to visit us. She was in San Diego County. And I had a friend. So this is back in, I think, the late 80s, the 80s, that I was told about Fern Nichols. And we had her come share at our church. And she got everyone praying. And I fell in love. I fell in love. She did a retreat for us in Vista, and we all fell in love. And just, she also did a retreat for us here in Costa Mesa. And just amazing, inspirational woman. And she became a mentor to you in prayer.
She sure did. And I praise God for godly women like Fern Nichols, like Cheryl Broderson, who have mentored me, who have poured into me. And then I get to pass it on, because Jesus wants us to do that.
Yeah.
His faithfulness to every generation. And prayer is such a gift. And I know how to do this. He prepared me for this trial. I was ready for it. Even though, you know, I'm just like, wait, what? What's the diagnosis? I have been prepared for this trial, prepared to serve him in this suffering, prepared to pass on the comfort that I have received from him, from others who have loved on me. You should see all the cards I get, the meals that have been brought to us, the body of Christ. I don't have a word. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
You know, Fern, she had this burden to pray for her sons when they hit junior high. Mm-hmm. And just, you know.
Don't we all?
Yes. And she just saw, you know, the kids. She had been a school teacher, too. And so she knew this system. And the Lord just gave her I think a strategy is the best word of how to pray and to gather women together to pray and then how to pray. And one thing I love about her strategy is one is that it's always honest. She's always honest. Like, don't try to hide from God. He knows those thoughts anyway. And she had this way that she would talk about. She said, my sons had some really wonderful girls that I had to pray out. And, you know, and I had to pray the others in. And I just love that honesty of prayer. But she also, and I learned this from praying with Stacy, is to take an attribute of God's character. And to begin with an attribute of God's character, look at the scriptures, all read the scriptures together. And what I also like about Moms in Prayer is that it's non-denominational, or you might call it interdenominational. Mm-hmm. It's just to anybody who wants to pray. And I know, Stacy, you said you've had, you used to have, because you had this group for years, that you even had non-Christians come because they were interested in prayer and to pray and to have something spiritual, because mothers realize I've just lost a lot of power to influence, a lot of power to control. I'm giving that power over to somebody that I don't even know. And there's peer pressure and there's teachers that are ungodly. How am I going to navigate this? And so Fern said, let's start with it, kind of the premise of hallowed be your name. Let's start with how great God is and that God's got this. And so, you know, you pass out a sheet that's got an attribute of God. And then everyone just kind of thinks about that, meditates on that attribute of God. You read the scriptures and you just think about it. And then everyone just thanks the Lord for that attribute. And you could turn to another person, or if the group's small enough, each person prays, just thanking God for that attribute that is part of himself. And then from there, there's like a time of confession where you're just absolutely silent. Nobody has to know what you want to confess, which I love. And from confession, you're ready then to begin to intercede. And then I love the intercession too, because the intercession is, people are praying for different things, but teachers, students, faculty.
So more than just your children.
Right. Yeah. It expands your you're wanting to bless, you're wanting to care for. And in fact, Moms of Prayer teaches you it doesn't even need to have your own words. The scriptures are there.
Yes.
With a little blank, you can just stick your child's name. You can stick your teacher's name, your school's name in that scripture. And I've been able to pass on that with other people and ministries. And just my love of prayer started there. And that's, I know. Apart from the Lord, I can do nothing, and I need Him desperately in every situation, every day. And as I wake up, Jesus, help me. And that's a prayer.
Yes, it is.
Keeping it simple and keeping it doable. And so helping women not to be intimidated by prayer, because it's powerful.
It's the power line, and it's the lifeline, and it's effective. Exactly.
Isn't Jesus doing that in heaven with us?
He is.
Interceding for us.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Partnering
so
with
when
Jesus.
You would meet, would it be a set time that the women would come and you'd have this pattern from Fern's strategy and you would lead them? And then was it an hour and a half?
An hour.
And did you see women continue to come back because it was a lifeline for them?
Absolutely. I've seen women grow so much in prayer. I've grown in prayer because you're close with Jesus. Who you spend time with, we're spending time in the throne of grace. And it changed us. We were thinking we were going in there for our kids or for the teachers. But Jesus does exceedingly abundantly beyond.
Yes.
Right?
Surprise.
Yes. And it's glorious to be a part of. Yeah. So you can't help but bubble up in excitement and share that with everyone. And now, as the Lord has plopped me in, maybe not plopped, but put me in a new ministry, I get to pray for my doctors. I get to pray for my nurses. I'm in the medical community.
Yes.
And I am ready to go. My prayer walk. My neighborhood, my kids are all older and out of school now, and it's such a blessing because I'm like, let's pray as we walk around the neighborhood. We know this house. If we don't know their names, we can intercede for these people. Everybody's suffering. Everybody has a trial in their life, and we maybe know some of it or we don't know some of it, but Jesus knows, and we know how to carry Jesus into that home. And it's glorious to be a part of this.
And these are prayer meetings that grow, it starts with like two or three women and the word got out. But Stacy used to tell me all the answers to prayer, and it would be so exciting. Mm. Like she'd say, oh yeah, we had these two Mormons show up. And as they begin to see who Jesus is, that he's not just the brother of, a fallen angel, that he's actually God. And teachers would come up and say, will you pray this for me? Principals would seek them out. And the Lord would give them so much favor because they're not trying to tell you how to live. They're simply saying, how can we pray for you? How can we bless you? How can we help you by bringing God's attention on you and your attention on God? How can we do that? And I remember, Stacy was also a group leader for our Joyful Life Bible study. And that's one that we study the Bible and we would do homework. And she led a group for years and years and years. But also she was able to inspire those women how to pray and inspire those women to start prayer meetings in their homes and,
so good.
And to join Mom's Own Prayer.
Really is. Okay, so when our kids were still elementary school and middle school, we had moved to a new town, and I looked for a group like this. I had heard about this. It was like, where are you? And couldn't find anybody. So when I was at church one Sunday, there were two women I was beginning to get to know, and I went to one of them, and I said, our kids are about the same age. Would you be interested in getting together every Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, to pray? But first I have to tell you, I don't care about your Aunt Susie's gallbladder. I'm not going to, I won't stay for an hour and a half of prayer requests. I just want to pray and pray for our kids. And she said, I was just talking to this other woman about this, and we were looking for a mom's group. So the three of us met for 16 years, every Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. We didn't always remember each other's birthdays. We didn't always have coffee. It was like, get to work.
Yeah.
Get in here.
Agreed.
Sit down. Start praying. We got kingdom work to do. Our kids are at risk every place we turn around. And what we went through in those 16 years together was nothing short of heaven, really, because we had each other and we knew we had someone to go to in those really difficult times. The biggest thing I missed when we left that town and moved was those two friends and those that prayer time.
Yeah, because it's the Lord. And that was, you know, and I think I use the word strategy on purpose because it's a war strategy.
It is.
It's a war strategy because we're fighting the devil in the public schools and for our children. And we're also fighting the devil in our Christian schools. We've got a moms in prayer group that meets for this school, for Calvary School here on campus, because they recognize the devil is after our children in every way possible. I mean, I get, you know, calls from missionaries and from people saying, look, my son got caught up in drugs or gaming. Gaming's a huge one. And there's addiction. In fact, there's places where these young kids are going to get off of a gaming addiction. I mean, it's crazy because a lot of the gaming is they're meeting predators. They're getting suicidal. The suicide rate is up with young people. And the bullying on Facebook, I don't think that we've ever been in such war times that required such strong and strategic prayer as we are right now. So Stacy was on the front lines of that. And then, you know, they ended up, because you did it for, I think you did it for 20 years?
I can't even tell you how long, but
I know from the first to the last.
Four.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and she's 21 now. So,
yeah.
I continue to.
It's just like, Megan's older than 21.
Sorry, 31.
Sorry. 31. Yeah.
I have trouble with numbers. Glioblastoma, it gets you.
Yeah. But she's 31. So that tells you how many years. You know, she's I know that she teaches at a school. She's a pathologist. So it's like,
that's
I know she's not 21.
I know.
And she's so gifted. But, you know, she has got the same type of relationship. Here's the fruit. Megan loves Jesus like her mom loves Jesus, like her grandmother loves Jesus, like her grandmother loves Jesus. Megan loves Jesus with the same intensity. And she's breathtakingly beautiful. She looks like she's Miss America or something. I mean, just so gorgeous, so brilliantly smart, and waiting for the right person. And she's learned all of those things from her mother, as well as being prayed for and saturated in prayer from the time she started school. But then how old's your youngest?
Gosh, seeing those questions are hard.
Yes, sorry.
So with the numbers, okay, let me think. He is, and he's not going to correct me. Like 20, he's older than 21 too. He's 23.
23, and he's walking with Jesus too.
He's walking with Jesus, and I get to share what Jesus is doing with my kids. They're watching me through this trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been able to, you know, prayer doesn't have an expiration date. And so I love that. And so they have been covered in prayer their entire lives by me, by their, you know, I was discipled more with the elementary school right at that level. I got passionate about prayer, but by their grandparents, we have a legacy of faith in our family. And I'm so grateful for this legacy because I'm seeing fruit from it.
Now, Stacy, in this one, we're just kind of getting to know you a little bit. I know that you did a podcast for Moms in Prayer for about 2 or 3 years. I had the privilege of being on it.
Yes.
And then, and this is what we'll get more into our second session, but I was supposed to be on that podcast, and it was a podcast on grace. And we were going to talk about grace, but you had a pretty strong seizure just maybe a week before and went to the hospital. And I want to talk when we come back about all the miracles that God did and God is doing, even in, not despite, not in spite, but in. So we'll come back. Part two. This is Stacy Callender. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn.